You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
We're dealing today with September.
September of 1920. And as we have said, 1920 was a busy year, more so towards the end of the year than the start. But we can see that the incidents and the casualties and the losses are mounting, aren't they?
They are mounting, and there are incidents pouring in, you know, fairly heavily. One after another. The first one we deal with today is in Abbeyfield.
Right, so it's very local to us, and it's still a very sensitive story to us.
Yeah, it was an ambush in Abbeyfield on a Friday night, Saturday night, right? On the 20th of September 1920. The plan or the intention was to take out our friend Huckabee.
Yes.
Huckabee had already built up a name for himself as a ruthless individual.
We encountered him, didn't we, in August in Shanagolden?
We did. You're gone again. You're back. Anyhow, as I said, we had encountered him in Shanagolden. No, he was transferred to Abbeyfield.
Yes.
The IRA decided that to ambush the curfew patrol in the belief that Huckabee would be one of the in the patrol.
Right.
But as Huckabee wasn't in the patrol, but the penalty. The ambush was set in the outskirts of Abbeyfield, and someone stepped on a branch. I think it was Captain O'Neill. He made Patrick O'Neill. I think he made some kind of noise, and one of the RIC men, Constable Donohoe, went over to investigate, and as he did. Of course, he provoked the ambush.
Yes.
Prematurely. He was seriously wounded. As I say, once the ambush started, it didn't matter. So the fire was open from all quarters. And the second RIC man, Constable Mahoney, was shot dead. Now, the irony about Mahoney is that he was probably an intelligence officer for the IRA.
Right.
He had been providing information from the barracks in Abbeyfield, and as I say, ironically, he was killed. Now, as I say, that's the second incident of that type in West Limerick.
Yeah.
Constable Masterson, who was killed at Sweep's Cross. In July 1920, he was, June 1920, he was also believed to have been
an informer. Yes. Yes.
Now, as I say, Manny, anyhow, and I think was died in hospital, but in the military hospital, test the Sarsfield Barracks, what Sarsfield Barracks today, it was the new barracks then. But he died there, he was killed outright. Now, that was on Saturday night. On Sunday, a detachment of auxiliaries from Limerick from Newcastle West, were drafted into Abbeyfield.
Right.
On the Monday, two young men were healing and happiness. No, at the end of the day, after work, they decided they were both heading in the same direction out the Castle Island Road, decided to go together. And they were spotted by our friend Huckabee.
Yes.
And he followed them out. When the two boys realized they were being followed, they had a run for it. Unfortunately, not fast enough. And Huckabee shot the two of them.
Yes.
And Huckabee went back to the barracks in Abbeyfield. Now, the man that was in charge of the barracks was Owen Latimer, who was an auxiliary. Hardened, you know, a very hardened character. But even Latimer was, he was surprised and shocked by the callousness of Huckabee.
They were shot for no reason other than that there were two of them together.
Yes. I mean, it was a classic case, I think, of a psychopath was deciding, you know, I'm going to take these two
It was opportunistic, is what it was.
Yeah.
Like, they were unarmed. They were not involved in anything. They weren't doing anything.
Unarmed, they were not involved in the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
No. But they just unfortunately crossed his path at the wrong time. And as I say, he shot the two of them in cold blood outside of Abbeyfield.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing about the military inquiry is that normally, in nearly all instances, whether for good reason or bad reason, military inquiries found shot in the course of his duty, killed in the course of duty. But in this case, they did not do that. They said the two men died from gunshot fired by T.D. Huckabee.
Right,
did not say it was while in the course
And that's damning enough in itself, isn't it?
It's more damning enough in itself because it's extremely damning.
Yeah, you know? That they have named him and they didn't say that it was anything to do with his duty whatsoever at all.
No, they knew. I mean, as I said to you, Latimer was an extremely tough man and he was an auxiliary.
But a fair man, you know.
He's relatively fair, yeah.
In this case, he's calling a spade a spade.
Calling a spade a spade. Now, I wouldn't care to rough his hands. But at the same time, he saw Huckabee for what he was.
Yeah. You know, there is things that we can justify in the course of war, but this isn't one of them.
You're seeing it today, unfortunately, in the Ukraine.
Absolutely.
300 civilians. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. Where did the Russians retreat from other parts of?
It's history repeats itself again and again.
Yes. Now that same weekend, right? There was an ambush down in West Clare, in a place called Rhineen. It's near Milltown, Melbourne.
Yes.
And it was, there I see it, it was the first of what I would call big ambushes, you know, said that, where there was multiples of, there were six RIC in black and tans killed in the ambush in Rhineen. Now, it was led by a fellow called Ignatius O'Neill.
Right.
Now, when he has connections, I think either his sister or someone was a duck in the Capamore area, either then or later. As I said, what I'm saying is we can see the way the thing is ramping up.
Yes.
As I said, killings in Abbeyfield, and we'll say down in West Clare of Rhineen, there's an ambush involving the deaths of six RIC and Black and Tans.
As we said before, the momentum is building and it does seem to be that everybody's finger is on their trigger.
On their trigger is right. Now, the thing about it is that the there was reprisals for the shootings in for the ambush in Rainin.
Yes.
Now, we say the bigger ambushes, like Dunkeel, which occurred, we say, in February 1921, there were no fatal repercussions, primarily because, to give credit for credit is you, the RIC inspector in the Dunkeel area, Sanson, Adam Sanson,
yes,
he kept control of the situation. Now, the point I'm making is that if you have a person with proper military control, reprisals are not the norm.
Yes.
Well, you don't have a person with proper discipline, reprisals are the norm. Now, the same weekend, there was another, there was a Limerick man shot dead in Dublin. A man called John Aloysius Lynch. Now, says you, John Aloysius Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
John Aloysius Lynch was a solicitor clerk from Kilmallock. Now, he had worked for Powers, and he had been very involved in gathering information for the defence of for the men who were charged with the shootings at Knocklong. Now, Lynch had gone around the countryside taking depositions, and he was also involved with Sinn Féin, and was in his role for, as a fundraiser of Sinn Féin, that he was in Dublin, bringing monies to the up to Dublin.
Okay.
And he had come on the radar of the British Secret Service.
Yes.
I think it was Captain Baggy. And he was staying in the Exchange Hotel down near Dublin Castle. And the hotel was raided, and Lynch was shot. He's shot dead in his rooms.
Okay.
Now, the men who did the things, I think they used silenced guns because no one heard anything.
And that would be unusual for the time, wouldn't it?
Would be unusual, but at the same time, it tells you what's going down in a sense. So I said, these secret agents now, these are the fellows that were wiped out later as Andrudi Sunda.
Yes, the Cairo gang and those.
Cairo gang and, you know, the as I said, British intelligence. And they were, as I say, taking on that instance like that. Now, just to give you an instance, the same weekend, Captain Lindrum is killed down in West Clare. Now, that's separate to the Rainin ambush.
Yes.
Lindrum was arrested magistrate, and he was going to some court cases out in West Clare, and he was ambushed at a railway crossing. Now, there was a lot of thing that Lindrum had been taken and he had been buried in the Strand, you know, and
yes,
that he had been drowned by the tide. That was Bunker. But he was shot and his body was dumped, it's all right. But he wasn't drowned as such. Moving on, Healy and Hartman, we've spoken about.
Yes.
Now, the reprisals in West Clare for the Rainin ambush, quite a number of individuals, civilians, killed in reprisal. There was Patrick Delane killed in an assignment. Also, Thomas Canole killed in assignment. Joseph Salmon killed in the Hinch. As I said, these were
the uninvolved civilians, and indicative of the lack of military control.
Yes. Now, it was it appears to be a mixture of British military. Now, the one of the Scottish regiments was down in West Clare, and there were no sort of angels.
Yes.
Now, as I said, when we talk Limerick, the most indisciplined regiment was the machine gun corps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be fair, the most of the regiments that were in the McGarry, Bucks and Oxford Regiment, the Green Howards, they were all fairly disciplined.
I mean, yes.
If it meant that the officers in charge were fairly disciplined members, right? Now, the same weekend, 24th September, a soldier by the name of Harry Owen was shot in the new barracks, cleaning his gun. Now, okay, says you, that's accidental, but it's peculiar that more accidental killings seem to have taken place, you know, around this time as well.
There was a nervousness, I think, a tension building up.
I think it reflects the stress that fellows are under.
Yes, you know, people are slipping up and people are very jumpy, and rightly so.
Well, you see, this is what I'm saying, is that it affects the tension. Now, the weekend, the 28th of September, 1920, a Sergeant William Gibbs was killed at Mallow Military Barracks. Now, in the course of the Irish War of Independence, whilst the number of RIC barracks were captured by the IRA, only one military barracks was ever captured, and that was at Mallow. Now, it was a mounted detachment, cavalry.
Yes.
Detachment that were based in the military barracks in Mallow. And whilst the bulk of the garrison were gone off exercising the horses, they used to go out outside Mallow to exercise the horses, and there was only a skeleton crew or a skeleton garrison left in the barracks, and they were under this Sergeant Gibbs was in charge. The IRA had spotted this, and they raided the barracks, and Gibbs, you know, they held up the sentries. Gibbs refused to he attempted to resist, and he was shot. Actually, as I said, he died from his wounds. Now, the barracks was captured, and they managed to ransack the armory and take all the guns out of it. But as I said, it was the only case in the whole of the War of Independence where a military barracks was actually captured.
Oh, so that's quite significant, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying, that is, you know, that was significant. Now, it isn't like a huge military barracks. I mean, barracks about, I'd say, maybe 60 tests, about
yes.
60 men. As I say, the bulk of them are gone off exercising the horses. And it's just the
so it was good timing, essentially.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yes.
The new man and the image. The death raid.
Yes.
Now, as I say, Liam Lynch, I have a very soft spot for Liam Lynch, even though a lot of people would say that he was a diehard over the Civil War. My take on it is that Liam Lynch tried so hard to avoid the Civil War that he had actually lost the opportunity to win it.
Yes.
When he eventually dawned on him that the Civil War was inevitable, not what he was trying to do to prevent it. That it was inevitable, and by the time, as I say, he realised that, he's up to it to win it.
Do you see, we talk about the Civil War, I suppose, as complete outsiders, you know, I mean, we're not that far removed from it, as we said, 100 years is no time, but it must have been just devastating for these men who fought so hard together to be fighting against one another, you know.
Well, you see, you've got to take it. It's not black and white.
Mm.
There were people that did very little in the War of Independence. They are gung-ho of the Civil War, both sides.
Mm.
Then you take the likes of Dan Breen, and fairness, incredible credit is due. Dan Breen tried might and main to head off the Civil War.
Yes.
He managed it. Now, they also, it might would have to be taken, that both those men, they didn't hold the bitterness.
They sort of behaved honourably during the Civil War, in that they remembered the comradeship from before that.
Yes, like, I mean, it would be held that Heimlich became a diehard. He did at the end,
yeah.
Yeah. But he realised at that stage that the fellows who had been watching to start the Civil War, when it was getting hot for them, they were looking for ways out. One of those was Tom Barry. Now, Lynch's attitude, as far as I can see, was he tried my name to write it.
Yes.
Right? He said, I didn't start this, but we're going all the way.
Yeah.
No, I said, that's, I know you can say that's an extreme view, but I think at the same time, he tried that he had to provide it. Now, the irony about it is, Donegal Hannigan and Lee Lynch
mm-hmm.
are on opposite sides, but they never fell out. Now, so much so that the Free State Army authorities in Dublin never fully trusted Donegal Hannigan.
Yes.
There seemed to be an attitude that he doesn't hate Liam Lynch enough. And I think there's some, ironically, there's something nice about that.
It shows more of the character of the man, doesn't it?
Yes, that Hannigan and Lynch came from the same area.
You see, friendship is stronger than politics in that case.
Yes, like when Hannigan's forces were trapped at the castle at the start of the Civil War, right? Lynch to dare I say Liam Deasy allowed them to march away, provide they surrendered the position they held.
Yes.
But, you know, what I'm saying to you is there's a more civilised approach between those people. Now, it cost Hannigan dearly because the Free State authorities never fully trusted him,
mm-hmm.
even though he was the most successful man of Free State. You know, fellas above Dublin, like Bowen or Duffy, they did them all during the War of Independence.
Yes.
They rose a lot higher and a lot faster. And as I say, we have Hannigan down in East Limerick, who directed the, you know, responsible for the Drumtina ambush.
Yes.
Which, let's be honest, was the most successful ambush outside of Cork.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he gets recognition from the Free State authorities. Anyhow, as I say, that brings us up to the end of September.
And we can see that the momentum is growing and growing and growing further towards the end of the year.
Yeah, there was one further at the time. Hugh Conway, he was killed in Cullen. Now, says you, what has Cullen got to do with it? Cullen, you see, whilst it's in West Mary, it's actually in East Limerick by rape purposes.
Right.
And Conway was shot. Now, the mistake of who shot Conway, because he was shot from a British military convoy that was passing through Cullen. Now, they were going from the Hutton's into Barry to going back to West Limerick. They were transferring the Warwick's regiment that was being transferred from the Hutton's outside Barry town. The army at Kiel.
Right.
And someone fired a shot, accidentally, of course. And Hugh Conway was killed. Now, Conway's brother actually was the OC of the Cullen Company of the IRA, which was part of the second East Limerick.
Right.
Anyhow, as I say, that's our story for today.
That brings us up to the end of September.
End of September reflects into October next week, okay?
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.